If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Mark chapter 1. And follow along as I read, beginning here at verse 9. Mark 1 and verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see what you have written to us and how we should apply it today. We've come today to hear from you. Take your word, your servant. I pray, Father, that we will handle your word accurately, communicate it clearly, but may we see what you have written and hear you speak to our hearts and to our lives. We thank you, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I promised you that one of the things we would see in the Gospel of Mark is a lot of action. In fact, 10 chapters of the Gospel are covered in 2.5 years. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor, I know you've said many, 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 many times that Jesus' ministry years were 3.5. How come Mark only has 2.5? Well, the answer to that is, I don't know, but I know that he left out about a year of Jesus' ministry. He left out one of the trips from Galilee, from Nazareth, Capernaum, up to Jerusalem. Don't know why. He just did. But still, we're covering 2.5 years in 10 chapters. This is emphasized already here in the first chapter. 11 times, Mark says, immediately. Throughout the gospel, 42 times, he will use the word immediately. Now, I know this is kind of like telling sick 'em to a dog. Please don't count those right now. Take time later and count them. If you come up with a different number, you need to check your translation. But whether it's in chapter 1 or throughout the gospel, whether we can fully understand and appreciate the action or not, it is moving quickly, and it is all about Jesus. For instance, here in verses 14 and 15, Jesus knew his message, and at the same time, the timing was important. Mark says it isn't until John, the baptizer, was arrested that Jesus begins his public ministry. And what is his first message to all of Israel? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That was his message. The kingdom of God is at hand. How? Well, the simple answer is, the king is here. It is fulfilled. How? As we read earlier in Galatians 4, God had promised, God brought everything together. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just as promised. And everything else that needed to take place has been done. And now Jesus can offer himself to Israel as her Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. He knew his message, and he made it perfectly clear. Secondly, he chose his students. As a rabbi teacher, normally students would be applying, just like they do today. I want to go learn under him. I want to go learn at this institution. I want to go study under him. But not in Jesus' case. Notice in verse 16, as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Now, there are a lot of things that we could maybe glean out of those verses, but let me emphasize this. Jesus chose them while they were fishing and while they were mending nets. From the seashore, Jesus calls out to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They were working. Busy day. He sees John and his brother James mending their nets. Working. They were already busy. They already had a job. And he says, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." All too often, we tend to think that I'm already busy. I'm already doing something. How can God use me? Why would God use me? How could he call me to do anything else? I'm busy already. Well, so were Peter and Andrew. So were James and John. But Jesus called them to leave the boats, to leave the nets, and come follow him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He taught as one having authority. Look down here at verse 21. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. One having authority. Now, you might think, well, of course, he's Jesus, Mary's boy, but he's also Lord, God himself. Of course he teaches with authority. But one of the things we're going to notice about Jesus' teaching that clearly separates him from the scribes, the other teachers, is this. Jesus, in his teaching, relies upon the Word of God. Jesus will quote the Bible over and over and over again. Why? Well, partly because he was involved in writing it, and he knew it very well. But he wants it also to be an example to you and me. Would you like the authority that Jesus had in terms of his teaching? Stick to the book. Concentrate on what the book says. Understand it and share it. Will you have the same authority Jesus has? No. But you'll have the same basis for it, because the authority isn't you. The authority is God's word, God himself. He even had power over unclean spirits who would obey him. Look down at verse 27. They were all amazed So that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Jesus had just performed a miracle and exorcised a demon from a man, and they'd never seen anything like that. The authority of this man. Now, good people disagree. Wise men disagree. Exactly how we can even follow in Jesus' steps here. But the examples that we have in Scripture, if we are ever called upon to do anything like that, is what? In the name of Jesus. Not in my power, not in my knowledge, not according to some algorithm that I have set up or some plan or program. Nope, nope, nope. The only authority that Satan and his demons will bow to is God himself. That's all that controls them. Not you and me. So at least at that point, we can follow his example. Well, I can tell you, I've only been in that situation once. That is, where I knew that I was dealing with someone who was demon-possessed, or at least demon-influenced. And I got to tell you, it scared me to death. And I, a teenage gal whose dad asked me to please visit with her. And all I could do was pray for her, for myself as I was counseling her. The authority that we have is not in ourselves. The authority is in the very Word of God. Then look down here at verse 32. When evening came, after the sun had set, and they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Jesus was busy. The ministry was going well. But Jesus made time to spend time with his Father. Now, if the economy of the Trinity is difficult at best. But if Jesus, God himself, needed to spend time with his heavenly Father in the midst of a very busy, productive ministry, why would we ever think that we don't need to also? Now, for some of us, getting up early before morning, you know, before daylight, that's not going to be a productive time. I don't think, for what it's worth, that that part of Jesus' example is all that important. But rather that you find time when your mind is clear and when you can focus upon the Word and can pray and spend time in his presence. Jesus needed time with his heavenly Father. You and I do also. And finally, reminding us of something I introduced last week with John, Jesus encouraged the keeping of the law. Verse 40, a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were compelling, and they were coming to him from everywhere. He encouraged the keeping of the law. He heals this man of leprosy, and then he says, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, that might seem like an odd thing to do, but let me remind you, in the law, these sorts of things were managed not by the family doctor, didn't have one, but by the local priest. Because the question was, are you clean or not? Are you contagious or not? Should you be around others or not? So you would go and you show yourself to the priest. He would see what you had, what kind of eczema or whatever it was on you. And he would say, "Okay, separate yourself and come back." And if he came back, you came back, and it was gone, well, you would make the appropriate thankful gift, sacrifice, and that would be the end of it. But if you came back and it was worse, well, again, separate yourself, could be contagious, come back. And at some point then, the priest would say, "You have leprosy. You need to completely separate yourself. You cannot come to worship. You cannot come to the tabernacle. You cannot come to the temple." And you were separated completely from others who did not share your disease. Now, this man's been healed. His skin is perfectly clear and clean. Why did Jesus say, "Go show yourself to the priest"? Well, first of all, because that's what the law commanded. And Jesus, along with everybody else at this time, are living under the Old Testament. They're living under the law. So Jesus says, keep the law. Secondly, possibly, when he goes to show himself to the priest, he may show himself to the same priest who declared him leprous. Now we've got a priest who knows there's somebody out there healing people. And not just people who thought they had a problem and now they don't think they have a problem. Somebody who clearly had a problem. And now he doesn't. Anybody can see he's clear, clean. And we've got a priest who knows it. What's he going to do with that information? When you get there, then be prepared to make the appropriate sacrifice. And understanding that almost all of these people would have been poor. Why? Because they've been separated from family. They've been put into a commune of other lepers. No ability to make an income. They would have been poor. So what are they to offer? Two pigeons. Do you remember what Joseph and Mary offered upon Jesus' birth? Two pigeons, because they were poor. For the leper, The first one was offered as a sacrifice. The second one was let go, demonstrating freedom. Whose freedom? Mine. I get to go back home. I get to go back to my family. I get to go back to my job, to my community. I am free, just like that bird. And now there are people who know. There's somebody in the community who can do that. Could Mark have said more? Absolutely. We could have said more just because we've skipped over some things. That's for you to investigate later. Could Mark have said more? Absolutely. But I hope you leave here thinking, what a start. What a start for Jesus. Declaring clearly who he is and what he's come for. And demonstrating that he is exactly who he says he is. Fulfilling prophecy. Setting Israel up to accept him as the Christ, as the Messiah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. And again, I pray that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, and maybe whetted an appetite or two to go back and look at this again, to fill in the blanks, to see this chapter in its entirety, to once again be impressed with who Jesus is, the example that he is to us. And all that he will accomplish on our behalf. We thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.